It's not long into Jesus' ministry that people started to ask that question in the title of a TV program, who do you think you are? And in John's Gospel, John gives us, or Jesus gives us, some expressions that help us to understand just who he is. They all begin with the phrase, I am. I am this, I am this, I am. Seven of them. We're going to actually be looking at them over the next 7 weeks or so. They build up a comprehensive picture of just who he is and just what he's come to do in our lives. We're going to begin with one actually that ties in well with last week. If you were here with last week, the harvest, our daily bread. And we're thinking of the theme of Jesus as the bread of life. We're going to pick up the passage in John chapter 6. After the feeding of the 5,000 that Laurie brought to us a month or so ago now. And we're going to read from chapter 6, verse 35. Carol's going to come and read that passage for us. Thanks, Carol. John 6, verse 35 through to the end of the chapter there.
John chapter 6, 35 to 59. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. At this the Jews there began to grumble about him, because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, this is not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know. How can he now say, I came down from heaven? Stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus answered to them, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum.
So we're going to turn this morning to the first of those seven great I am sayings of Jesus that are found in John's Gospel. Bread. Interesting, these sayings actually have a particular expression to the particular unusual way in which they're put in the New Testament. Normally when you would say, I am, in sort of New Testament Greek times, it would just be the word I mean, I am. I am young, I am handsome, or whatever you feel you'd want to say about yourself. But Jesus puts it in another way. He adds another word. He says, ego I me. Now we can probably work out what the ego means. Literally, I am the bread of life. That's unusual. And it's a particular expression that's found in all of them. You know, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the good shepherd. So there's something underlining it, underscoring it, telling that this is important. But also, of course, it is an echo. Back to, the expression of the I am. It's found in the Old Testament. You may have worked out in your own minds where it might be. Remember Moses in the wilderness and the burning bush, and so he asked God to tell him what his name is. And in the Greek translation there it says, ego I me. I am. God is the great I am. We looked at that some while back, that he is, as it's sometimes translated, Yahweh or Jehovah, the same thing. I am. And a couple of chapters later, as you saw, Jesus underlines that in John chapter 8, verse 58 there. Very truly, he says, before Abraham was, I am. And after that, the reaction of the Pharisees is understandable. At this, they picked up stones to stone him. This was blasphemy. Before Abraham was, ego I me, I am. He didn't just say, before Abraham was, I was. He uses the very expression that God himself used to describe his name and his nature. I am the eternal one. It's a remarkable claim. I am and always have been and always will be. The same construction, actually, if you look in the bit we didn't read in John 6 there, when they're in the storm on the lake, and Jesus comes to them and says literally, I am, don't be afraid. I am is with you. I am. This is our Jesus. Now, I think sometimes we're in danger of almost domesticating him, because he's our friend, because he's our saviour, and we share every moment of our lives with him. We can almost take him for granted and forget just who he is, that he is the Word made flesh, the eternal Word. And he is, as we saw, the bread of life. And it's expressed very vividly in the passage that was read for us earlier. That image of eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Of course, he's not speaking literally here, as the Pharisees thought he was. He's not actually talking about the bread and wine of communion here either. He's talking about a spiritual participation in who he is. Believing in him. Believing, verse 29, believing in the one God has sent. We take Christ into our hearts, Christ into our lives, like we might eat bread and wine. And that's symbolized, of course, powerfully here in communion. I am the bread of life. These claims would have been unthinkable, ridiculous for a mere man, even for a great man. These make Jesus unique in a different category, the Word made flesh. Now this first expression, I am the bread of life, follows on, of course, in the feeding of the 5,000. It's the only miracle, except the resurrection, of course, the greatest miracle of all, that appears in all four Gospels. That's how important it is. Miracles in John's Gospel are described in a particular way. They're described, you may know, as signs. Now, signs are significant, aren't they? Signs are there for a purpose. Signs, the significance of signs, of course, is in what they point to. There's a lovely story of some Japanese tourists who were on the A303. And you know on the A303 you pass Stonehenge. And when we lived in Andover, we'd pass it very regularly. And I'd say, that's Stonehenge, that's amazing. People come from all over the world to see that. Oh, yeah. You know, we're not impressed by a few stones and so on. But these Japanese tourists had come and wanted to see it. So they got out of their cars as the traffic was hurtling by and started to take photographs of it. Now, if you've ever been down that road, you know when it does move, it moves quickly. A lot of times it doesn't move, of course. You could get out and take as many photos as you want. But they said, we saw the sign. The sign, of course, that is a speed camera. And they assumed the sign was, this is a place to stop and take photographs. We need to read these signs correctly. Otherwise, we could end up in all sorts of trouble. These signs point to things. Like the very first sign you have in John's Gospel is the wedding feast of Cana, isn't it? The first sign, John says, that he performed. Turning water into wine. Not just kind of wanting to rescue a difficult situation, but to show a sign that he'd come to transform dull, watery life and existence and religion, as it was in those days, into the sparkling new wine of the kingdom. To turn water into wine. And so here, yes, he feeds a multitude. He feeds a multitude because there's an immediate need. But to illustrate the truth that he is the bread of life. Now, what's this sign saying to us? As I reflected on that and I thought about bread, two or three things came to mind. I think firstly, I want to say bread is an essential food, isn't it? It is a basic food. It is for many in our world, and it has been over many years, the staff of life. The primary source of nourishment. We're not talking about cream cakes here or chocolate. But the basic food we need to survive. You can live without ice cream. Oh, it's possible. Without jam, donuts, or yum-yums. They're my latest source of temptation, I must admit. But we cannot live without bread. That's why bread was so precious, so important, that it was used for money. And in some places, bread is money, isn't it? I've got some bread to pay for that. Because there's an Old Testament here as well. Old Testament background as illustrated again in the reading. The time when Israel was in the wilderness and the manna from heaven. Daily food to meet their basic need. Their essential need. Jesus came to meet our most fundamental need. To satisfy our spiritual hunger. Hunger is one of our most basic cravings, isn't it? It's one of our first experiences, but babies get hungry. They want food. They need feeding. They cry until they get it. But Jesus is saying there's a different kind of hunger, a more vital hunger. The hunger for meaning, for purpose, for hope, for salvation. This is the need Jesus has come to meet, to satisfy our spiritual hunger. Jesus speaks of it in the passage because he looks back to the feeding of the 5,000. Here it is in the message. You came looking for me, not because you saw God in my actions, but because I fed you, filled your stomachs, and for free. Don't waste your energy striving for perishable food like that. Work for the food that sticks with you, food that nourishes your lasting life, food the Son of Man provides. Shortly after I became a Christian, there was a campaign, some of you may remember it. It was simply these three words, you need Christ. And they did all sorts of evangelistic materials and so on, including a car sticker that said just in the bold letters, you need Christ. I didn't have a car at the time, but I did get a car sticker and I stuck it on my parents' car. Now, my parents were not active Christians, certainly. But bless them, they left it there. And telling everyone they needed Christ. You need Christ. I need Christ. It's our basic, it's our most essential, our most fundamental need. Jesus is the bread of life. Not one amongst many. Mandy was reminding us last week how many different kinds of breads there are now in our supermarket. And sometimes that feels like when you look along the shelves of all the religions and philosophies and ways of living that are available to us now. He is the one and only bread of life, because he is the bread who came down from heaven. Verse 33. He has divine origin. He's the one who's come to do the will of the one who sent him. He has a divine mission. He is the bread of life. He is the essential of life. But the second thing about bread, I think, is it's an everyday food, isn't it? I suppose most of us sometimes go out for meals. Do you like going out for meals? And you look through the menu. And I tend to go for things I don't normally have, don't you? I mean, there are times I do have to ask, what is this? You know? And I'm not even clear what it is, and I'm not even sure after I've ate it what it was. But it's nice to go for something different when it's special, isn't it? It's a special occasion. Bread is every day. Many of us will go home today and maybe have some bread for lunch. There are those who think that following Jesus, faith in Jesus, is for special occasions. It's for Sundays, it's for births, it's for marriages, it's for deaths. But Jesus is there to transform every day and our everyday life. It's significant, isn't it? That first sign we mentioned is at Cana in Galilee. And it's not in a synagogue, it's not in a religious situation, it's in a wedding reception. Being a Christian is about sharing the things of every day with Jesus. It's a down-to-earth faith. A faith that makes a difference to our day at school or work or college or at home or wherever. For Christ is with us in the everyday. Even if we don't always realize it. Some of you will remember these guys. Anybody remember who they are? You remember, Ruth? The tweenies, well done, the tweenies. One of the tweenies, they were children's TV programs, not anymore. One of the actors who, I'm sorry to let you know, Ruth, these are not the real people inside being actors. They're not genuine people. And one of the actors who played one of the characters had a young son. And he would go off each day to film another episode, and his son would go off to preschool, and his son had learning difficulties, but he loved coming home to watch television. And his favourite TV programme was The Tweenies. And when his dad got home, he would tell him all about what had gone on that day, and what his favourite character had done, and his favourite character was... Ruth? You do need to get out more, don't you? Yes, well done. Milo, you're right. But what this little lad didn't realize was that his dad was Milo. And he was the actor who played Milo. And so often I think we don't realize that actually Christ is with us in the everyday. Because it may seem, you know, may not look like what we think again. Bread is always with us in the ordinary. And Christ is with us as we share each day with him. And that's why it's good, I think, when we share communion. We used ordinary bread. The Last Supper, they ate the bread they would have ate at the other occasion and every other day. They drank the wine they drank every day. It always feels a shame, I think, when we have special bread or special wine. These elements are essentially ordinary because Jesus wants to share the ordinary with us. Bread is essential food. It's ordinary food. But thirdly, it is enough food. I don't know if you've got a smart speaker, if you've got Alexa. I don't say Alexa in case suddenly she answers me from someone's phone here this morning, or Siri. Someone asks Siri on their smartphone, what is the meaning of life? And the answer came back, all evidence to date suggests that it is chocolate. Now, obviously, it's a joke. But there's a serious side. We can survive without chocolate. We can survive on many different things, but bread is basic and it is sufficient. The Israelites fed on manna each day. They were not satisfied with it. They wanted more. But still, we talk about survival rations, bread and water. The bread that Jesus gives is sufficient. It is enough. He supplies what we really need. Verse 35, it says that, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Reminds me a bit of the woman at the well, you remember, and coming for the water. And wanting that. He said, well, give me the water then, that I don't have to come to the well anymore. And of course he explains that this is a different kind of water, that you, it will satisfy your deepest thirst. It is enough. There's a story of a missionary in India, central provinces of India. And he was giving out gospels. He gave out the Gospel of John to people around. The man opened it and realized it was a Christian document. So he was so cross with it, he tore it up into pieces. He threw the pieces on the ground. Shortly after that, a man came along and saw these bits of torn paper. And he read these words. Oops. The bread of life. He didn't know what they meant. And so he asked some friends what it meant. And one of them said, oh, don't go near that. That's Christian stuff. You don't want anything to do with that. But this man became fascinated just by that phrase. A phrase as beautiful as that surely would not be defiling, wouldn't be a bad thing. So he bought a New Testament for himself. And he started to read through it until he came to the bit where Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Now, of course, you'll know that if he read through the New Testament, he read through Matthew, he read through Mark, he read through Luke, and eventually he got to John chapter 6. And he read and reflected on it. And the light of God's word flooded into his heart. And he trusted Christ as Lord and Savior. He found that this bread was enough to satisfy his deepest longing, his deepest need. And it's enough for us today too. Let's say the grace together as we close our service. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.